Hello, friends. Pull up a chair, grab your wine. You are listening to the Close Friends podcast, where we hit record on our in real life conversations as friends about surviving, thriving, and diving headfirst into life, trying to be adults, trying to have a bleeding good time. This is the third week in a row I've not sworn at that part.
Why?
I have this personal goal to swear a little bit less. And I think I'm fucking smashing it. So cheers, everyone. This week, I'm your host, Sarah Sazbaz, and I'd like to welcome my other host, Tara.
Hello.
And Lucy.
Hi.
And I forgot Shirley. Let me just get her from under my bed.
Shirley. Although she never says anything anymore. She needs to, I think we need to work on building Shirley's confidence so that she can talk again.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, sorry. She's referred to now as the jungle skog. If that's how you say it, because that's what it says on her label, because she is a stuffed snake from IKEA, for those of you who are late to the party. Tara, do you have our close friend of the week?
I do, and I'm so excited about this, team. I'm going to just play it for you, seeing as it was received as a voice note. Are we ready?
Ah! Hello.
Hi.
I've got my dad here. I'm 15.
I'm 51, that's old.
We both just wanted to say that we both listen to the podcast and we both really enjoy it.
Not necessarily together.
Yeah, I started listening to it when it first came out, and then I got him
it to me
after. Certain ones we are not listening to ever together for obvious reasons, but
I've listened to the Sex Party one.
Yeah, I told him to listen to that. So yeah, we just wanted to say that we really like it.
Yeah, it's brilliant,
and we think that we are probably the weirdest listeners that you have,
being old and young.
Yeah.
So great, thank you.
Oh my god,
I can't go.
Close friends close friends of the year.
Literally,
thank you,
close friends of the year. That has made my entire year. Like, yeah. you're yeah. not the weirdest listeners that we have, you're the best bloody listeners that we have, and we love you so much.
My personal highlight was Dad sort of just saying, and I really like the Sex Party one. He just got that in there. Fucking love that. And also that the weirdest things are that old and young. It's like, well, also the fact that you are father and daughter, but I fucking love it. So we are going to be talking about a few different things this week, but mostly going to be focusing on Love Island. Now, this is something which we've actually had a few DMs about already to ask kind of us to address. But those of you that don't know, Love Island is a show in the UK. It's been going for quite a few years now, but it has become somewhat more controversial as the years have gone on. And there's just a lot to say about it. Now, we're going to be kind of delving into things like body diversity, some of the kind of tragedies that have come off the back of it, and whether it's something that we personally would recommend watching or not, or just general musings on it. So let's kick things off. I'm going to ask you, Sarah, do you watch Love Island / do you like it?
Yeah, I'm like, I watched a couple of series religiously back in the day, and then I haven't watched the last couple of series, and now I've started watching this one. Do I like it? Okay, do I enjoy watching it? Fucking yes. It's great TV. Fantastic TV. Do I like it as a concept? Don't know about that one. I've got a whole podcast to discuss that. Tara, what about you? I appreciate that last night was the first time you've ever attempted to watch Love Island.
Her for homework.
It was technically today, right? In between calls, I was like, shit, I should probably put this absolute pile of crap on. And yes, it was an absolute pile of crap. I lasted 8 minutes. I got to the bit where they're basically, they come in and they like open some champagne and they giggle a lot. And then they go and stand in a line in their bikinis and get picked by, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by how big this show is in the world, and I just do not get it. Although, I mean, I'm going to caveat this with the fact that I watched all of, what was it called? Geordie Shore, and fucking loved it. Hated it, but also fucking loved it. So,
iconic.
I know. But yeah, this Love Island shit is, I'm sorry, but I can't. But yeah, I also hate Geordie Shore for the same reason, but I did watch it. So, yes, Lucy?
Okay, so my history with Love Island, used to love it. got hooked when I was living in a kind of with my friends. We'd watch it every night, would be obsessed with it. But over the years, I've just kind of felt a bit like, nah. Because when you look at it, for me, it was firstly, there's a few issues that I have with it. The lack of diversity 100% is really off-putting for me. Do I appreciate that it's trash TV? And that can also be really fun and interesting to listen to and watch. Yes, I appreciate that. That's why I loved it originally. But now I just can't. I don't know if it's maybe like an age thing, but I watch it and I'm like, this is so mind-numbing. And I'm aware of it now that I can't, like, I can't actually, if I watched it, I'd fucking love it. And if I let myself, I would love it. But I refuse to let myself at this point because it's every day. That's a big commitment as well. It's every fucking day. I can't do it.
Question. You say that it's like mind numbing. And I used to watch Geordie Shore because it was mind numbing. But like, why, like, why is it entertaining? Like, what is that? What's like entertaining about it is my question.
Do you know what I was thinking? So that what I would liken it to, you know, when your friend has like been on a date or they like met up with someone and you're like asking them to like tell the story and like talk about it, you know, when you like get deep in that kind of that chat where we're talking about partners and dates and experiences and stuff, and it's kind of that really lighthearted surface level chat. It is really nice to do that. And when you're doing it with your friends and it's quite funny, I feel like that's kind of the equivalent. Like you're in the room watching these chats. You're kind of in the room watching the gossip almost. That's what it is. It's gossip. It's like it's a depiction of gossip and you are like the watcher of it. That's how I describe it. And as a human, I think basic human instinct, I think we are drawn to things like that.
Yeah, it's that level of human interaction that is just surface level in a lot of ways. I think one interesting take on it is that love is a great equalizer. So you're watching these people and sure, you can't relate to all their backgrounds and, you know, you can't relate to all of their lives. But no matter how fucking hot you are, you can still get fucked over. you go through this emotional cycle of love with these people that you really recognize in yourself, even if you are like three completely different people to what you're watching on the TV. It is really relatable content and it doesn't go much deeper than that. So I think that's part of it, and definitely like the friendship element that you said, Lucy, as well. But on top of that as well, there's a sort of more sinister side to it, which is that the sinister or innovative, depending on how you want to look at it, which is the way that the producers have put the show across is really it'd be groundbreaking in some ways, but it's really gamified. So one thing you might not know about it, Tara, is that there's an accompanying app where, you know, you can do the usual voting and popularity contest type stuff that's been going in reality TV since the days of Big Brother and before, you know, for decades now. But the Love Island one really brought the audience engagement back to reality TV when we'd had a bit of a dead period where it was more just about watching, consuming. It brought the interactivity back and engaged audiences in a way that was far more up to date. And there's like, I obviously don't have the app, but there's like a lot of...
I was going to say, I don't know anyone that uses the app. I literally know like no one that's used the app.
Mate, it is genius. We need to look at the user numbers for it, because think about this.
I'd be really interested to know.
You're doing a live, like it's a live show almost. So they record on the day and then they chop everything up from the day and they display it back to you at 9 p.m. at night. And you get immediate feedback on who the popular people are, what people are interested in, what people are searching for, who people are voting for. The next day you're making the rules. So you send that person home, you pair, like, it's genius. It's like a social experiment, but sinister, as I said.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that was introduced more when I stopped watching it as much. But I kind of feel like I think people enjoy watching others have really, you know, like if you're going through a breakup, it's quite healing to listen to other people's experiences, right? I think it's almost like what you said, Sarah, on that, like, you watch those, anyone and everyone have these issues being cheated on or whatever, and like you're kind of watching it and it makes you feel more like, validated in a way. And mm-hmm. I think that's maybe that's a good thing. But I also think that is a bad thing, because it's kind of like we like seeing people have issues, you know, have problems, have issues, and we kind of take pleasure, personal pleasure in that. Because I think like the most watched episodes are always, or like the most remembered moments are the ones where someone else coupled up, you know, in the recoupling, when they choose who their partner is going to be for the next week or whatever. We love it when they pick someone else or someone different or someone gets backstabbed. And those are the moments that people thrive on. So it is kind of thriving on other people's misfortune.
Great.
Not always.
There's a word for that.
No, we thrive on the bits that are good. We love it when it's happy as well. It's not as one-sided, I don't think, as you make out. I think people love the thriving, but they also do love the drama.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I also think, like, aside from all of this, for me, the biggest thing that needs to be mentioned with Love Island is the fact that everyone, no matter what, is always in a straight size body. The men, yeah. The women, and mm-hmm. you know, what I find so hilarious is, like, I really feel like they think they did something special this year by having like a couple of girls who maybe didn't have like super defined abs, but they are still slim women, and it is not diversity having someone who doesn't have a six pack. It's not diversity. And like, I just find that so like vacuous. And it's just the thing that I hate was what people say, yeah, but people, it's like the Victoria's Secret argument. Yeah, but people want to see those kind of like goals bodies. And it's like, no, they fucking don't. People want, men want to see those bodies, but women want to see women that look like them. They want to see women that look like them because they're out there. You walk down the street, they're there.
I want to just draw that apart quickly. Men also want to see their bodies represented in the men that are there. What you meant was that men would want to see us women in skinny bodies, right? But well, we still want the representation on both sides.
No, I was going to say, if I imagine who's making the decisions at Love Island on the direction of the show, I imagine it's probably quite a lot of older men in suits picking and choosing what's right. So, yeah.
What's the gender split of watchers of Love Island?
I don't know.
Oh, we should look that up. I think the stat I'm trying to find as well is how many couples are still together. I'd love to see a number. It looks like only a handful. But the show's been going for like a number of years. And at the end, through all the churning and the mixing, the recoupling, you probably have like six couples. People who actually said like, I'm boyfriend and girlfriend, maybe more, but around like six or seven. And I, judging from the handful of articles I can see from tabloids, it seems as though kind of only a handful out of all of those years and all those cohorts are still together. Which brings up the sort of question that comes up a lot with this show in particular, which is, for the people going on it, is the driver really to find love, or is it just to find fame?
The driver was ever to find love. What?
Apparently so.
They're going
and
on
some of them do.
Sorry, it's bullshit.
It's like bullshit. I don't think, do you know what it was like, do you remember, I don't know if you guys watched Big Brother, the first series of Big Brother was just so wholesome and so amazing, because that was kind of the beginning of this reality show kind of stardom, and they were the kind of first lot that went in, and they didn't know, there was no Instagram followers that you were gonna get when you left the house. But now it's like people know exactly what they're going in for. If they're going on Love Island now, they know they're probably gonna gain a couple hundred thousand followers. I'm not saying that's bad. Maybe that's what you want to do to propel your career, because loads of people have, you know, if you think about Ryland Clark from Big Brother. Mm-hmm. He went on Big Brother and he launched an amazing, really long-standing career, and he's like a regular TV presenter, etc. But I think with Love Island, I think you know you're going in there because you are going to get a Instagram audience. You're going to be able to build businesses. You're going to be able to do, you know, capitalize on that. And again, I don't think that's wrong. I just think that I really, really don't think there's someone genuinely going in there to think I find love. And also the producers, they are picking people that are going to cause the most controversy. They're not actually thinking, mm-hmm. oh, this would be a really great match for this person and this person. It's not like, what's the other, it's another show that does that. But yeah, it's who's going to cause the most fire, drama. It ain't about love.
I think it is like, now it's been going for a while. It's a very established blueprint. It's literally like a Build-A-Bear factory for influencers.
Yeah.
But one like controversial thing to put in here is that I debate that typically it builds the wrong kind of influencer. And the reason that I've started to polarize between the right sorts of influencers mm-hmm. and the wrong sorts of influencers is because you're both influencers and I think you're the right sort. But also, we get into a more philosophical discussion around people with platforms who are being termed influencers because they have these hundreds of thousands of followers. You know, are we mixing people who are activists and experts in their respective fields and top of their game and talking about important things, which I think both of you are, obviously, with people who are purely just media sensationalist products of that Build-A-Bear factory? And the other thing is, if people come out at the end of that, like, we can't expect them to come out and suddenly start talking about feminism, because that's not the premise they became famous on.
And the problem as well is the people that they pick. I'm sorry. And actually, you know, I got shat on in the Knobs group for saying this once in a conversation about Love Island like 2 years ago or something, where I was like, they pick fucking idiots to be on this show. I'm sorry, but they do. Okay. That, like, this, I can't relate to any of them. I don't get it. Right? They scream. And I don't know if this is my internalized misogyny speaking, right? I've no idea. But I don't respect any of them that go on this show. So I'm like, and then they become influencers and they have 700,000 followers. Yeah. They promote skinny teas and boohoo. And I'm like, what? Like, is it my internalized misogyny that doesn't like it? My jealousy maybe for their like instant fame? Or is it just because, like, why the fuck are we making stupid people famous? Why? Like, there might be one or two of them that have a good message or something to say that actually brings anything to the world. But for God's sake, like, why are we still doing this?
And mate, even if they did have something to say, the producers would edit it out anyway. So, like, they still won't get famous based on the premise of how much good they're doing in the world, necessarily. Okay, there's been, like, two exceptions, but whatever.
This is my issue that I have, because I don't view reality TV stars as stupid. And I do think that is really tied up in kind of... I think it is like internalized misogyny, like you said, Tara. But because the thing is, right, we don't actually know these people. We only know the image. Like, same with any influencer. Yes. No one fucking knows you. They just know the image that you choose to portray. So maybe we could say like their image is like not useful. And also the thing that I'd add to that as well is a Love Island producers are in control of the image that they portray. It's not, you know, if anyone thinks that the stuff they're watching on Love Island is not produced in any way, is not influenced in any way, they need to really like understand how reality TV works, because there is a person who's literally hired and a team to enhance storylines. So someone will be going in one person's ear, they'll be saying this, they'll be gathering people and saying, why don't you go over to they literally do this, it's confirmed, why don't you go over to the pool because so-and-so's there, we think you should go here, why don't you go there? So it's a shame, because I'm sure there's loads of people that go on Love Island and think that they're going to be shown their true self, but really they're cut in a certain way that makes them look stupid. I don't like shitting on influencers, because people that sell skinny teas are different.
Well, that's
it. You know, like the influencers in the wild thing that we've talked about before. I think sometimes when it does give me that vibe slightly, when people are like, fucking Love Island dickheads.
So, but I think the problem is that they start promoting harmful stuff. And, you know, I could call even a boohoo ad harmful at this stage, right? Like, it's that kind of vibe of person that promotes the wrong things, in my opinion, and goes on to kind of just do the wrong things. Like, obviously, there are some exceptions, like you said, but it's that kind of person that it breeds, basically. And we don't need any more of those.
There are some exceptions, as I said. So there's also... We all remember Dr. Alex, and Tara, you might have even come across Dr. Alex. He was, what, two seasons ago? Gave every single woman on the planet the ick. It really was like an incredible feat that he managed to achieve there. But he came on, he was a doctor, like an actual doctor, and he was very much you know, the producers really do love dumbing these things down. So he was very much like portrayed as like, oh my God, the smart one, even though I'm sure all the people in there were so like intelligent true. And had so much to offer in their own way and whatever. But he was thrown in there as a smart one. Now, what he has done, even though he's still a controversial figure because of the route he's taken, but he does use his platform to speak very openly about mental health. And, you know, that brings us nicely to the topic of we couldn't have a Love Island episode if we didn't talk about mental health. And of course, the backdrop to this, I'm sure many of our listeners will know this already, but there have been really tragic incidences happening with people going into Love Island and it really ruining their lives. So without going into lots of sort of morbid details, there's been three people who have taken their lives. So two contestants, Sophie Graydon and Mike Thalassitis, if I'm saying that correctly. And then also, of course, the presenter who I think we all knew and love, which is Caroline Flack. And now you could loosely relate Caroline, the association with Love Island, and you know, she wasn't a contestant, but she was presenting it. But she was subject to the same media frenzy and sensationalism that a lot of these influencers coming through this path are as well. And it's this constant pattern of building people up in the media and then tearing them back down again. So just wondering how you guys have seen that. And Tara, as someone who's not watched, for example, like, have you been seeing that from the outside?
Like, why are we supporting this? Why are we actively watching something where people are committing suicide? You know, yes, you can blame the media and you can blame the producers and stuff, but they're never going to stop. Like, why would they? We've seen that they haven't. Three people have committed suicide. It's just awful. I don't know. I mean, I know that I just don't like the thing. Therefore, I'm so negative about it, and I can't understand why. Yeah. Like, watch fucking Planet Earth if you want something that's mind-numbing, for God's sake.
Like, I'm just, you sound like my dad. My dad would look, that's literally what my dad'd say. But I have to say, so, oh God, okay, so I think if you isolated Love Island existed without social media, Instagram predominantly, and Twitter, then mm-hmm. that wouldn't, I still think that those people would all still be with us today.
Yeah, you're right.
So is it more a commentary on the way that people pile on cancel culture? We talked about it before.
Yeah,
it's like the way people do the pile on. So I think like it's also social media that is to blame, as well as Love. I think Love Island is the propeller. The thing is though, it makes so much money. It's not gonna disappear. It's just not. And that's morbid. And I do agree. Like, they need to address it, change the show, whatever. But ultimately, I think with a show that big and popular, it's actually the social media reaction that is the thing that is driving the trolling, the hate messages. Mm-hmm. So is it more something that we should be addressing on social media rather than dressing with the show, because the problem is the social media, essentially?
Maybe these people just need better protection and better care. Like, you almost need like Love Island aftercare, don't you? Just
that is a show. Love Island aftercare is the show that's on ITV2.
After Sun.
But no, Tara, on that though, the articles I was reading, because it's really hard to find academic papers on this stuff. So the tabloid articles I was reading, Love Island are making a big song and dance about the fact they now do a mental health screening on the way in. And they also have like on-site support and things. And I think the comment you made off air when we were talking about this just now was like, what about after? Like, before doesn't matter. Like, you go in kind of naive. You don't know what it's going to be like when you walk out of that door and suddenly you're famous. I guess that's it, isn't it, actually? This is what we're getting to. It's the instant, what would be the word? Like, the quickness
overnight
of
overnight fame.
Yeah, you're picked up, right? You're given all of this fame and stuff, and then you're just dropped and left, right? Like, they basically use you for their own personal gain, this show, and then they just put you out into the world with absolutely no preparation for what's going to come next and expect you to just get on with it.
Do you guys think though, so do you think that by at this point, after there's been many series, people know what's gone down, Do you think that it's the person applying the responsibility, knowing about the trolling, knowing about the deaths, knowing about all that, do you think it's on them? It's kind of a situation of, well, you know, you should have expected it if they leave the show and get trolled.
Yeah, so this is the thing, right? Because if you say to them, you're going to come out famous, right? So this is why you ask people why they want to go on. So if they say, I want to go and I want to have overnight fame, then you're like, you know, that comes with all these other shitty things. And no matter how nice and how different you think you are, you will get trolled. You will get like publicly hated on. You will be overwhelmed with really shit things as well as really good things. Are you willing to take that risk? I bet most people would still say yes, because they just don't appreciate the magnitude of what that does.
But this problem to me is nothing to do with the contestants or anything. It's actually in the hands of Facebook and ByteDance and all of the other big social media companies to regulate their platforms better and to have some sort of system where, like, people don't get subjected to this kind of hate, because it's, I mean, they could do so much more.
Could they?
And the media as well. Like, who's regulating all the media? Yeah, of course they could. They definitely could. Don't you think that, Sarah?
It gets so murky. It gets so murky because once you get into let's talk about government issued IDs to get on social media. So, example, trolling. You have a bunch of nasty people in your DMs saying shit like, you should die, bitch, slut, whatever. You can go on one of them and you'll see that they most likely have no followers, no posts. They're just, and they've got like a car as their profile picture, right? Now, there is one school of thought that is, make people can't just, you know, create these shitty anonymous accounts. You need to hand over government ID. And then in that scenario, Facebook or whatever could step in and could be like, hey, Lucy Mountain, we know it's you behind this troll account and we think you should stop. But then, like, that's not a fucking nice world to live in, where to start an account on a social media platform, you've got to be going through layers of verification to get there. And on top of that, not everyone has a fucking government ID. Like, that already, yeah, you've just excluded like half of your potential audience and half the potential people who'd enjoy and benefit from that platform. It gets so murky.
But the problem is, even it goes further than that. It's that even if we did this, what's to say that Facebook
people are still
or
fucked
anything
up?
would
yeah, what's
like
the consequence?
What's the consequence? But B, like, when we report stuff on the internet at the moment, nothing happens. Mm-mm. Ever.
Nothing.
So, like, what's to say they're even going to do anything about it?
Honestly, this is such a big issue because social media is not going anywhere. Like, it's not going anywhere. No. This is just how we communicate now. So there has been, it's kind of the case of, like, we've grown, social media has grown so quickly and so fast that there is not an infrastructure in place which supports people like this. Like, the law and laws have not adapted quick enough to make trolling like a crime and an offense. The gossip website is a website which is essentially built to talk shit about influencers. It's where trolls congregate and they have forums, and it's like, that's allowed. That website is allowed to exist, which is insane in my life because it falls under the pretense of freedom of speech.
Exactly. That's it. You get down to ethics.
But everyone says, you know, oh, but, you know, freedom of speech, I'm allowed to say whatever I want. And I'm like, well, yeah, but then you face the consequences of saying that. But the problem is there are no fucking consequences. There's nothing. Yes. It's like no one comes down on you at all.
Because it's you have a right. The argument is you have a right to anonymity. I can never say that word. Anonymity. You have a right to it. And that's one of the biggest questions about identification on the internet is, should you have that right? And I think about this so much, and I still don't know the answer to that. Because very, very, very bad things can come of it, but also good things can come of it. If you think about, like, voting and democracy and that sort of thing, like, as that moves into a more digital space, like, truly anonymous systems are really important as well.
Why do you think that people are trolling? Because the thing is, I know we talk about this and we always say, oh, they're just miserable and they're just jealous. But, like, it's such a widespread thing. Are we all miserable and jealous? Like, is that the thing? Like, is society just miserable and jealous? Because trolling is, like, it's such a thing that is so normal to happen to people. There are so many people that do it. It's not like a weird subsection of society. Like, your everyday person is signing on to Tattle and writing shit about people's lives? Like, what is it? Is it, or is it that Instagram triggers that group of people? I don't know. It has to be more to it, though. It has to be more to it.
It's a form of radicalization. So like, this is Tara. This relates very strongly to incel culture. That we'll have an episode on.
Well, it's also about finding a community, because if you've never been part of a community before in your life and you end up on this tattle, like, you just want to get involved. And it's a shame. It's almost when people don't feel part of other, like, you know, positive communities, they flock towards these negative communities. And this is something that I think about a lot when it's in this. I know we've gone way off topic here. I'm going to just continue this and then we can have like a quick fire round or something, okay? But this is when, you know, so the men that say really hateful things about women, right? I've read a whole book about this, but essentially they have never felt part of, they've never felt loved by the community of, like, you know, men who feel positively about women, or by women who have good relationships with men. And if they've faced a bit of rejection, it kind of all revolves around rejection in all of these different circumstances. If someone's been rejected by a community, they find the opposite community and they stick in there. And we, A, need to get better at rejection, just generally as a society, I think. Like, that's the sort of thing that should be taught in school, that, like, rejection is okay and it's natural and it's normal and, like, I don't know, maybe it's a whole different topic, but does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, it's exactly that. And I was just looking to find where, I read a really good article on this, like a legit article, no more tabloids, about the radicalization in particular of incel culture in like gaming environments. So they will get teenage boys who are playing games with other teenage boys, and slowly they become further and further over to the right of this, like, kind of far right radicalization movement. And there is a massive, this is the final thing I'll say on this subject, there's a massive philosophical question in academia and internet research at the moment, which is how do you stop online radicalization? How do you regulate the content that you're feeding to people in a way where it's representative of multiple opinions? And there's also, like, a strong anti-vax movement online as well. Mm-hmm. And people who are getting down these YouTube rabbit holes, for example, or down whatever content holes in, like, Reddit or even in the dark web, they end up getting pushed. You know, it's like a self-fulfilling vicious cycle. And it leads to some terrible results, not just in the couple of cases we've talked about, but other sort of extremes as well.
If someone wants to read a bit more about incel culture and stuff, there's a book by Laura Bates called Men Who Hate Women. Like, just be warned, it's really heavy reading, but it will pretty much, like, change the way that you think about the internet and about culture.
Tara, we must do an episode on it.
Yeah, we have to. Let's do that. Goodness. Once we've had, like, a fun one in between, I think. Because, quick fire round. Team, quick, do we fire. Have questions? I can think. Let's quick fire. Okay.
Yes.
Introduction to the quick fire round. If you haven't been listening for the last couple of weeks, the quick fire round is where we ask each other a yes or no question and we count down and we all shout the answers, our answers, together. So Lucy and Sarah don't know what my question is and vice versa. And here we go.
Do you judge people that watch Love Island negatively? 3, 2, 1.
No.
Yes. Okay, I've got one. If you could snap your fingers and have 1 million more Instagram followers, would you do it? 3, 2, 1.
Nope.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't want anymore.
I love this. I love the quick fire.
It's not working. It's not working. Mine's actually a much deeper question. It's very intellectual. If you got on Love Island, would you shag on camera? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
What? People shag on camera in Love Island? That's the thing.
Tara. We'll talk about this after. I want to tell you something, Tara. But yeah, I would.
That's why people watch. Okay.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
You're in the villa for months.
Go on, yeah.
Like, it's not, and it's like, it's covered. But I'm sorry.
Oh, why? So do you have to shag on, like, if you're going to shag, do you have to shag on camera?
Yeah. Yeah. As in, like, there's cameras in the bedroom, so you can't avoid it.
Well, then yes. I mean, I'm going to have sex in the house, right?
This is it. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And also, why is that shameful? Why is that shameful?
important, relevant anecdote to this one, if we start unpacking these questions, just to start with, before I forget. The beauty queen, was it a beauty? Was it Miss England? Miss England had her crown, her title removed because she did exactly that. So she fornicated on camera, even though it was under a blanket. So, like, obviously it's not porn. And she got a title removed out of shame.
You're actually going to make me...
She said in interviews that has actually ruined her life. Like, she said, like, she was, like, really severely depressed and kind of still is. Like, she's not been well because of that.
I'm about to throw my laptop at the fucking wall. Fuck the world. Fuck everything. What fucking society do we live in? Oh my God. Yeah. I'm sorry. I am like just on day one of my period. So like emotions are heightened right now, but fuck me.
Tara is menstruating. Yeah. And this is why I feel so strongly that, yeah, like, why would I not fuck on Love Island? Because people are going to judge me. Why are they going to judge me? Because they judge women for wanting to have sex, enjoying sex, and it being like something that's not the done thing. If I'm going to put myself on TV in Love Island, like, I'm not going to do that anyway, because I don't want to do that. But if I'm the person that's going to do that, I would fuck on Love Island. I would.
And this is why I want to get Mia Khalifa on this, because, you know,
why do we act like no one fucks? Why are we? Oh, I just can't.
Yeah.
Why do we act like sex? Why do we move through the world acting like we don't all just want to have sex?
Isn't it hilarious?
I know.
That's one concept that I will just never understand. But it's a control thing. It's men wanting to control women by not allowing them to have sex without shame, so that we don't have as much sex. This is what it is, because that's what religion is. That's like what this is what the world is built on. It's a fucking, honestly,
that should be an episode.
Can we do that?
100%. I would put money right now on the fact that no man from Love Island has lost their job or had any sort of public shaming for getting down and dirty on camera.
Can you imagine a couple have, like, so say a pair have sex on Love Island. Can you imagine everyone posting stories like, oh my God, can't believe that he had sex on Love Island? That's hilarious to even think about that. But if you think about a woman doing that, it would be the most natural thing ever to see 1,000 stories of them like, oh my God, can't believe she did that. Why is it any different? It is no different. It is no... Oh, yeah. Anyway, should we go through the answers?
Yes. First question was yours, Lucy. You asked the first question. You did.
So it was like, if someone is in conversation saying to you that they watch Love Island, do you judge them for it? You said yes.
I mean, look, like, I know it's bad, but... I do. And then they'll say, oh yeah, but I just like it. And, you know, I hate what it stands for. And I'm like, okay. And then it's passed and that conversation is over. But just, you know what? If you meet me, don't tell me that you watch Love Island. Just don't do it.
It doesn't mean, you're not saying that people are bad.
No, of course. No one's inherently bad. Yeah. No, oh my God. I hope that didn't come off that badly.
No. But what I'm clarifying that, because I think like the word judgment, it's not saying like, I fucking hate you because you like this thing. It's like, yeah, I might judge you. I might have like think like, oh God, are they this kind of person?
I think,
yeah. And then go through that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In my mind, what I say in my mind is really, but then I'm over it in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Saz, you said no.
Yeah. I think for me, it's not that deep. Like, it's in my bucket of just like shit TV that sometimes quite rare these days, I'll indulge in is just like another way to wind down. So that sometimes I'll watch Made in Chelsea. Sometimes I'll watch, I don't know, just shit. But then other times I watch, like, you know, because at the end of a work day, do I want to sit down and watch my 8th Brian Cox documentary of the week? Probably not. You know, that's when I am like, I just want something that I'm going to just switch off to. So I just have it there. So I have a lot of friends who I consider extremely intelligent people, and they they watch this kind of shit as well. So yeah, I don't know. But then when you think about like the deeper stuff to it, it's obviously like you are endorsing something that's pretty problematic.
I think surface level, I agree like there in that like that's why I liked it. It was just a way to like de-stress, unwind, whatever. But I also do hate when people are like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You watch trash TV. You must be so stupid. Like, I hate when, and it's often like aimed at women, not men. Like, if a man says he watched Love Island, you're just like, oh, that's quite funny or whatever. Like, but if a woman says it, then you do have that association, which I think is a problem in general about the way we see women as being stupid or vacuous or vain or whatever. But you're right, though. With the context of the show, it does make this answer more tricky. Mm. What was the second question we had?
The followers.
Oh, a billion yes. followers. Yeah. Fuck yeah, I'd no. take that. Do you know why? Mine's going to be easier. Mine's because, again, mine's way less deep. In my head, I've got that automatic reaction of being like, million followers means money. And like, I'd sure like some of that. I've got tuition fees to pay, mate. Like, that'd be pretty good for me. It's not right, though, is it? Like, it doesn't work like that anymore. That was like how the world used to work. And now, as I said earlier, there's so much more expected of influencers. And you have a platform and you actually change people's lives and actually influence them. So, my second thought would be no, because I don't want that responsibility unless I'd like worked up to it and earned it or whatever. But yeah, Lucy, I mean, because you're halfway there, sort of.
I don't always like saying this because it's the kind of question where like you roll your eyes if like an influencer that has followers says, I actually don't care about followers. The thing is, I love my audience because it allows me to do everything that I want to do in terms of my business, Knobs, like that is, but I think because of Knobs and because of the community that we have predominantly on Facebook, like that is not an ego metric. That is purely just a community of people talking every fucking day. You know, so for me, that's what I care about. Like I have lost over 10,000 followers in the past couple of months, maybe, after a kind of a larger influx. I can't tell you how much I don't give a shit. I used to give a shit, but I genuinely, and again, people will think, oh, she's just saying that to be cool. But I'm proud that I'm in a space where I don't care because I'm not validated by my follower number. I'm validated by doing a good job in my business. What upsets me more, I'd rather drop 10K followers than get 3 negative reviews on my app. I'd rather have that, genuinely. And I know I'm saying this from a privileged position of being able to earn money from Instagram, build my business, blah, 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 because of my followers. So they are important, of course. But I think at this point for me now, another million is like maybe my worst nightmare because I already don't like too much, too many people, too many messages, too many, you know, people trolling or whatever. It's just not for me. I'm so content and happy. And I've been content and happy since I hit like 200K. I was like, oh, this is good. This is the best. And since then, 200 to 500, it doesn't feel that different. So it's a no for me.
Tara, what about you?
Fair enough.
What would you have said?
Well, interestingly, I'm like thinking about it a lot now. And I would take it because I feel like I fuck shit up with 30K. I'd fuck a lot of shit up with 1 mil. Imagine that. I mean, but like, but then I'm trying to think, you know, could I take the trolling? Could I take the hate?
And yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, you know, I've had trolling and I've had hate before, but then it's the same thing as we had this conversation on the pod earlier, didn't we? Like, you never know what's going to happen until you actually get there. So I'd probably take it. I'd probably shut it down 2 weeks later. I don't know.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm probably the same. Be like, hang on, this isn't for me.
I can see you doing that. No. I can see you doing that.
I have one last question that's not quick fire, but it's a good one for you both, which is, let's say, Tara, your worst nightmare comes true and you actually end up on Love Island. So you're in there and, you know, you kind of need to do it. Do you think you'd win? Or do you think you'd survive?
I don't know what winning means, so I have no idea. But what I would do is I'd play the game, and then wherever I could, I would try and really fuck shit up and, like, you know, properly do some, like, cool shit in there and, like, you know, be this, like, weird radical feminist and try not to get them to cut it out. And or, like, yeah. I don't know. I'd try and do something a bit quirky.
I think there needs to be a petition to get you.
Wouldn't give a shit if I won, basically.
Get you on Love Island. Yeah, but it's actually like, to be fair, it's not about,
oh my God, imagine.
It's not about winning. It's about surviving for until the end, basically. And then like you basically win through doing that. So you're right. You'd have to like tactically play the game. Then at the end, just like grab the mic and be like, fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yes, that's it. That's literally it. Well, that's what I want to do with my light. Actually, no, it's not working, is it?
I'm going to send you a TikTok, yeah. Tara, because one of the contestants, who is like a really brilliant feminist, to be honest, she kind of really called out this guy for talking about like how we've never let a woman pay for anything, blah, blah, blah. And she really breaks it down. So I'm going to send that to you.
Please.
But yeah, I think... Yeah, it's really good. Like, she keeps asking questions. And to be honest, I was listening to it and I was like, this is like what I would imagine Tara doing, but maybe more like spicy and more fiery because she's so calm. She was so calm. It was Camilla. I don't know if you guys remember her, but yeah, it was Camilla.
She was a good egg.
Thurlow or something. Yeah.
She was a bomb diffuser and a humanitarian aid expert. Yeah. Also, I wouldn't survive. I would be fucking terrible unless there was like a meme island version or like, I don't know, a geek version.
I would hate it. I hate competition.
My worst nightmare. Just going up to guys and being like, so you want to go?
No.
Do you like my water bottle?
No, I can't. Like, it makes me feel sick. Like, if I think someone's like intentionally flirting with me, I want to like die inside. I can't. But also, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just not my style, but
not under pressure.
I would fucking hate to go on it.
Final thing I want to say on this, though, is that like of all the problematic shit we've drawn out in terms of like the more mental health and like social media side of it, like we've got to fucking talk about diversity. I know you mentioned body diversity earlier, Lucy, but like this is some hetero shit, man. Like this is... It brings out the worst of like at the school disco, like boys on one wall, girls on the other, and like maybe they'll go and talk to each other. It brings out the worst in like hetero male, female, straight culture. And there is absolutely no fucking representation of anything that isn't cishet. And like people kind of talk about that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people outside of the Love Island bubble talk about that. But like, what the fuck are the producers doing? Like, it's 2021 and we've still, I believe we had a bi person a couple of seasons ago, which was groundbreaking.
A lot of tokenism.
I mean, if you can even call it that, I wouldn't even say that's a token. It's barely a hint.
It's not good enough. Mm. It's not anywhere near good enough. Yeah. Also,
same with ethnic diversity, though. Like, they have like a couple of black people in a sea of, you know, tens of white people. It's just, it's gross. And yeah, I just think, in fact, I actually read that the Love Island producers said that the show wouldn't work if it was different in the sense of having people of different sexuality. So it wasn't even like, oh, we'll see if they can change the show or change the format. They're like, yeah, it doesn't actually work with this format. It's like, change the format then. Change the format.
It'd be so much more fun. It'd be like a billion times more interesting if everyone in there identified as somewhere on the LGBTQ+ spectrum, like for sure.
How amazing would that be?
It'd be a festival. It'd be a fiesta.
People would be coming out left, right and center watching that. It'd be great.
Let's start one. Petition to start our own Love Island.
Guys, we go to Ibiza. We leave for Ibiza on Sunday.
But guys, we're in Ibiza as this drops.
You just need to come out. I think technically I'm already out.
Oh my god.
Officially now. No, I'm only bi, guys. I don't get to have a coming out moment. It's not the same.
Only bi. Yes, you do.
No, we need to have a coming out party for you. We absolutely do. Can we have a whole podcast episode on it as well? We have to do everything.
That is my worst nightmare.
Saz. I was talking to Thomas, Sarah's friend, well, our friend now, who's also on the podcast. And he was saying to me that his coming out party was like, meant so much to him. It was like, yeah, he was like, everyone should do it.
Cute.
Also, I just want to say very quickly that this, I think, is the first episode for a long time where it's really felt like the three of us are sat in a room talking at each other and like properly really discussing a topic with no filters at all. Like, you've literally been in the room with us properly for the first, It's been a good one, I think. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you didn't mind us going off on random tangents.
Philosophical.
So thank you again.
Yeah. We kind of feel like we want to be more open and just kind of not have a guard. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we get a bit fearful of like, oh God, if someone's going to take this the wrong way. But we appreciate that when you guys are listening, you're still taking things with a slight pinch of salt, knowing that we are just having a natter. And I feel like they're the best episodes for you. So yeah. Mm-hmm. We love that our audience is non-judgmental as well, so we appreciate all of you.
I'm extending my pinky finger out to the audience right now. You can see it on the Zoom cam. This is your pinky promise with us close friends that you're not going to cancel us unless we do something really shitty, in which case you're totally allowed. But for light stuff, you know, such as like I'd shag on camera, like just don't, please don't cancel us for that. Thank you.
Yeah, but honestly, if someone judges me for saying that, like maybe just stop listening. Like
I have shagged on camera. It's not been on national TV yet, but
I'm going to do the honour of wrapping this up. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Tell all your friends to follow us on Instagram. Post you listening to this episode on your Instagram. Anything to do with Instagram, we really love it and appreciate it. Do send us a voice note if you're listening with your dad. We also really appreciate and love that. And like and subscribe. Spotify, Apple Music. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review if you're on Apple as well. Thank you very much. We love you all and see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.